this presentation covering the interaction of Windows Workflow with local and external services. My name is Jim O'Neill, and I'm a developer evangelist for Microsoft in the Northeast District, covering New England and upstate New York. This is an adaptation of a presentation I delivered during the winter 2008 edition of the Northeast Roadshow. It is somewhat of a deep dive into a specific aspect of Windows Workflow. So if you aren't familiar with that technology, you may wish to take a look at some of the other overview materials available on MSDN and elsewhere before viewing this screencast. We're going to start off with a pre-baked, or perhaps I should say pre-brewed, simple sequential workflow that models the preparation of a latte you might order from a local coffee shop. This particular workflow consists primarily of simple code activities, which merely record the action in the console host, and a few delay activities to mimic the time required to prepare the coffee and steamed milk. Since the milk and coffee preparation can be done simultaneously, they are components of a parallel activity. And just to offer a little variation, the time to steam the milk depends on the type of milk, skim or whole, with an if-else activity and declarative rule condition controlling the execution. Let's just run this sample to get an idea of what it does. As you can see, the simple output displays the activities and the time of completion in the console window. Note that the order information we provided is hard-coded. We'll see how in a minute. And that's the first thing we're going to improve when we enhance the example with local services. Now let's take a quick peek at the main console program that drives the workflow. It's pretty much what gets generated out of the box, but I've modified it to add a quick loop to support repeated execution. Here you can see the population of a dictionary object with three values that are then passed into the createWorkflow method on the workflow runtime. This causes the values to be passed into like-named properties within the workflow. Our latte workflow instance does indeed include two string properties named milk and customer name, and a single integer property named shots. Now that we have our starting point, we're going to make two major changes to this workflow. First, we'll pull in some local services to prompt for the customer's order via Windows Forms user interface, and then we'll add in an invocation to a WCF service to record the amount of coffee and milk used to an inventory tracking service. To implement the prompt for and entry of the order, we're going to rely on a local service implementation. Local services in Windows Workflow are the mechanism through which the workflow runtime, which owns the service, can make available those services to the individual workflow instances that are executing within the runtime. A local service is just a .NET class that exposes an interface marked with the external data exchange attribute. The class is registered with the workflow runtime via the addService method, and the interface is used by the runtime and workflow instances to request and fulfill whatever action has been coded in that service class. This pattern is actually used by the built-in services as well, such as the persistence and tracking services that are provided with the base Windows Workflow classes. When dealing with local services, there are two workflow activities that typically work in tandem: call external method and handle external event. The first of these, call external method, is used by a workflow instance to signal that it needs something. In this case, it needs an order to process. To make this need known to the workflow runtime, which will trigger the UI to enter the information, the call external method activity is associated with an interface, here iGreet interface, of a service class registered with the workflow runtime. To complete the request, the local service method, greetCustomer, triggers an event, greetingReceived, which can then be caught and processed in the workflow host application to display the user interface. Let's move back to Visual Studio and start implementing this. What we're going to do is create a new workflow service library that will contain a custom activity to encapsulate the ordering process, beginning with the call external method activity. We'll then place that custom activity at the beginning of our main workflow to ultimately replace the hard coding of the customer's order information. In the property grid for our new activity, we can rename the activity to make it more meaningful. And we can add a number of properties that need to be set to complete the definition of the call external method activity. As we mentioned before, we need to invoke an external data exchange interface to prompt the workflow runtime to service our request. I have a simple class already implemented that we can add to this project. We have a simple interface with a method called greetCustomer. That's all that this call external method activity really has visibility to. In a few moments, we'll register this class with the runtime, and that's where the method will actually execute and trigger the greetingReceived event for the host application to respond to. Now that I've added the iGreet service interface, we can complete the call external method activity by wiring up the interface and specifying a greeting of the day. Finally, we'll build our new custom activity project. If we move back to our main workflow, we can see that there's now a new activity in our toolbox. That's the one we just created, so let's drag that to the top of our latte workflow. Now at this point, our customer activity will request some action, but the workflow runtime doesn't know anything, yet, about an iGreet service interface. So we need to register this local service with the runtime. All local services in the workflow runtime are actually managed by a parent service, the external data exchange service. So to register the greet service, we first need to register the parent service and then add the greet service to it. If you recall, the implementation of the greet customer method simply passed the greeting parameter into an event that is triggered on the service class. So for the workflow runtime to do something, it needs to respond to that event. Let's add the event handler here. Now what to put in this event? We want to display a user interface here, so I have another simple Windows Forms project waiting in the wings that I'll add to our solution. The form in that project provides a couple of UI widgets to supply the order information. The workflow runtime will call the getOrder method to display the window modally, allow the order taker to enter the information, and then package that information as a simple string list to ultimately forward to the next step in the workflow. Let's do a quick build to ensure everything is in order, and then back in the main application, add a reference to this new UI project. Next, we'll add some code to respond to the greeting received event and cause the modal dialog to open. One more quick build and let's give it a whirl. Now the UI is presented to us right off the bat, and when we press the order button, the workflow resumes. Of course, at this point, we haven't sent the information about the order back to the workflow, so it's still working off the hard-coded data. We'll fix that next, but first a quick trip back to the slides. While call external method is used by a workflow instance to ask for something, handle external event is used when the workflow is waiting for some information to proceed. So in our sample here, we're at the point where the order window is displayed to the clerk, and the workflow is essentially in a holding pattern. That holding pattern is defined by the use of the handle external event activity, which just sits and waits for a specific event to be triggered on the workflow instance. To fire off that event, we're going to make use of another local service that will be triggered by the closing of the order window. When the window is closed, the sendOrder method of the order service class is invoked. That local service class is responsible for invoking the event on the workflow instance and passing it the necessary order information, packaged as event arguments. Once the handle external event has been triggered, the workflow instance can unpack the order information, and the workflow execution can now continue. So back in our code, let's add to our custom activity. The local service we're going to use here is defined in another pre-built file that I'll bring into our activity project here. If we take a quick look, we can see an implementation similar to iGreet service. Here the interface is an event, and we define specific event arguments to pass the information from the runtime into the workflow instance. You'll also note that the event arguments contain an instance identifier. This is so that the correct workflow instance receives the event, since we have a one-to-many relationship between the workflow runtime and the instances. When the instance communicates back to the runtime via the call external method activity, there is only one runtime, so an identifier is not necessary. Here the sendOrder method will be invoked by the host application once the drink order is entered. The order specifics are packaged into an event argument class, and the order received method is triggered on the workflow instance, where a handle external event activity is waiting for it. Now let's add that handle external event activity and wire it up to our new service class. When this activity gets invoked, it's the invoked method that fires and to which the event arguments are set. To pass those arguments down the line to the rest of the workflow, we need to extract them from the event argument and elevate them to be local properties on our workflow. While we can make them simple properties here, we're going to make them dependency properties. You can think of dependency properties as a layer on top of standard properties, where that layer exposes additional functionality controlled by the workflow runtime. In this case, dependency properties allow you to declaratively bind values across activities, promoting codeless reuse of your custom activities. To create a dependency property in Workflow Foundation, we can use the WDP snippet, which provides a code template to which we need only add the property name and its type. Here we need three properties, so I'll add them now. The last step here is to assign the values passed in the event argument to our new dependency properties, so we just need to add a bit of glue code. At this point, we're pretty much done, and the custom activity is now equipped to receive the order information from the workflow runtime via the local service and expose that order information via the dependency properties. I want to add just a bit of edge case processing here, though. Consider the case where the order form dialog is canceled. This results in an order with zero shots and really indicates that the workflow should be terminated. So I'm going to add a test for that via an if-else activity with a single branch. In that branch, we'll check if the number of shots is zero. And if so, the workflow will terminate with the message indicating that the customer changed her mind. Just as with the greeting service, we need to register our order service with the workflow runtime, so we'll do that here. Next, we need to trigger the event to occur once the order information has been entered. We do that as follow-up processing in the greeting received event. The code here includes locating the service reference from the workflow runtime, so we can invoke the sendOrder method that in turn invokes the order received event that the handle external event activity is waiting for. There's only one thing missing now. The information for the order obtained via the user interface is currently only available within the context of the custom activity we added, so we need to pass that information up to the enclosing outer workflow. And we can do that by using the dependency properties we added to that activity. Each of these properties has an analogous property in the main latte workflow, so we can declaratively set up the associations. And now this stage of our workflow is complete, as you can see from running it one more time. Now that we've talked about interfacing with local services, let's turn our attention to interacting with external services, namely WCF endpoints. In the 3.5 release of .NET, two new activities were added to Workflow Foundation to facilitate calling a WCF endpoint as well as hosting a workflow as a WCF endpoint. For our scenario, we want to introduce a business rule that after each drink is made, a record of the number of shots and milk type is sent to a central external service that is monitoring inventory for this and other stores. That drink tracker service is listening for a request on a SOAP endpoint, and I've already started the service as you see here. We also need to import the service contract, or interface, which is part of the drink tracker project that I'm importing now. The contract is a single method called recordDrink that accepts the type of milk and the number of shots for the latte that was just made. Let's build this project to make the interface known to our workflow host application and add it in as a reference, of course. To call this service, we add a new send activity to our workflow and assign the appropriate contract, address, and binding to call the external service. We also need to wire up the parameters to the recordDrink method, again leveraging dependency properties. Lastly, since the workflow is acting as a WCF client, we need to add the appropriate endpoint configuration information to the application host via the app.config file. And that's it. Now when we run our workflow again, we can see that the external service is informed of the drink order and records some information in the console window. Lastly, let's take a look at the implementation of that external tracking service. Here you can see it's also implemented as a workflow and exposed as a WCF service. The activity at the top of the workflow is a receive activity, which sets the workflow up as a WCF service. Note that the log drink activity is enclosed by the receive activity, but the rest of the activities are not. Since the receive activity is synchronous, any activities included with it must complete before the service call will return. So in this case, the drink information is logged before the drink is actually delivered to the customer in the main workflow. However, any logic to determine inventory and reordering is handled asynchronously. With that, we've completed our exercise of local and external services in Workflow Foundation. If you're interested in studying this example in more depth, the full slide deck I delivered during our roadshow, as well as the complete latte workflow code, is available from my SkyDrive. For more information on Windows Workflow and its roadmap, including tighter integration with WCF and Windows Azure, I offer up a few links on MSDN here as well. And that's a wrap. I appreciate your time and attention and wish you a wonderful rest of your day.